Our discussion of meditation, and I came across a very interesting, fascinating Ben Ishchai. This Ben Ishchai, in his questions and answers, called Rab Pealim. Rab Pealim, Ben Ishchai died in 1910, Baghdad, Babylon. He was the chief rabbi. Very big Kabbalist, and he was the Kabbalist. If the Kabbalist had questions, they would go to him. So he has a question from another Kabbalist over here. And the question is, what is the purpose of prayer without Kavanah? The person says, you know what, I can't have Kavanah, I don't have intentions when I pray. Is it worth praying or not? So he says, this question is answered by Rav Chaim Volozhin. It's interesting how the Ben Ishchai knew by Rav Chaim Volozhin. In Nefesh HaChaim, which we learnt about earlier. He said this, he quotes it. Ikar bechol ha-mitzvot hu chelek ha-maaseh. The main part of a mitzvah is the action. Okay, so the main part of the mitzvah is the action. Because the action is the vessel. Without a vessel, it's like the body or the soul. What's the main part? The body or the soul? The answer is the soul can't even come in without a body. The body is the main part. So the main part of the mitzvah is the action. Very, very important, critical over here. The purity of the mind joins into the action. It's la mitzvah velo leikuvra. It's good, it's a hidur, but it doesn't stop the mitzvah from being perfect. So the mitzvah is good, it's a valid mitzvah just by doing it. Okay? And this is also, how do we know this? Because we find by the korbanot. A person brings a korban. Stam kelishman dami. Just without even saying anything. A regular korban is done. It's considered l'shem shemayim. That's what the Gemara says in Nazir. A person eats Pesach. He eats the korban Pesach, right? Imagine a person eating korban Pesach. He's eating not because of the mitzvah. He's eating because he's hungry. L'shem achila gasa. He's eating to overeat. He didn't do the hidur mitzvah, but the mitzvah he did. It's definitely not a hidur mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach because you're hungry and you're starving and or you want to eat too much. Imagine the Korban Pesach comes at the end. It's a dessert, right? That's why we have the Avikoman right at the end. So imagine the guy at the end, he's, wow, another piece of meat, I can't wait, another piece of meat, oh, that's so good. But he's not doing for the mitzvah. Does he fulfill the obligation or not? And the answer is, yes, he does. Because just by eating it, he fulfills the obligation. Just by eating it, he fulfills the obligation. If the person is eating the Korban Pesach and he's thinking of amazing thoughts, Hashem Shamayim, I'm doing it for heaven, I'm doing it for this, but he didn't eat the food, he doesn't have any mitzvah. So we see that the main part of a mitzvah is action. Action speaks louder than words. Action is the main part of the mitzvah. So this also applies to tefillah. It's interesting. This also applies to prayers. And we know, he says, going to the Kabbalistic aspect, Katav Kitvei Arizal, going to the writings of the Arizal. By the way, the Arizal never wrote anything. He wrote a commentary in the Talmud. He didn't write anything Kabbalistic. He wrote songs for Shabbat. But his writings were written by Rav Chaim Vital. His main student wrote all the writings. So the writings of Arizal really are interesting, are not really writings of the Arizal, the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, of what the Arizal says. So he says, the Arizal says, "Shinyan ha-tfilah hu tikun ha-olamot." When you pray, you are fixing the worlds above. "V'talut pnimiyotam kol bechinat naran shebahem." And you are raising up all the souls of the worlds to a high level. From below to above. How do you do that? This is amazing. This is a very amazing idea. How does a person raise the levels of the worlds, the souls of the worlds? So he says, by linking our souls, nefesh adam beruchu, beruchu benishmato. When you link your nefesh to your ruach, and your ruach to your neshama, how do you do that? Through the movements of your lips when you pray. When you move your lips and you pray, you are linking your nefesh to your ruach and your ruach to your neshama. Amazing, amazing. Why? Because when you're doing an action, right? The actions, when you're moving your lips, you're doing action. That's the nefesh. When you're speaking, it's the ruach, and when you're thinking, it's the neshama. So you're joining all three. You're joining your nefesh, ruach, neshama. You're joining all three parts of your soul together. And by doing that, you're raising up also all the wills with you. Amazing. So let's recap. So actions are the most important. Because if no actions, nothing follows from the actions. The actions are the basis of everything. Person has an action, that's the nefesh. The lower part of the soul is operating. Person speaks, the ruach is operating. Person's thoughts, that's the neshama. And by joining all three, you're raising yourself up and you're raising up all the parts of the worlds as well. Nevertheless, a person just thinks the prayers, does he fulfill the obligation? No! He has to move his lips. It's very, very important. Interesting. You can't have a neshama without a nefesh. You've got to go in order. Everything's got to be in order. Maybe. That's why it's very important. A person should be top heavy. A person's not allowed to just learn Kabbalah. It's got to start from the beginning. Learn Chumash. Because otherwise, a person's top heavy. They just learn Kabbalah. They don't know. They don't know Chumash. They don't know Nefesh. They have no Nefesh. The Nefesh is the Chumash. They don't have a Ruach. They learn Mishnah. They learn Gemara. They're just top heavy. So it's very important to start from the bottom. Start from the bottom of the ladder. We know Yaakov Avinu's ladder was Mutzavarsa. Whose foundation was on the ground. The person's got to be grounded. And the foundation of the ground is the lowest level. The lowest level is the nefesh, which is action. The lowest level is action. Now, some mitzvot you do by speaking, which is interesting. But the movement of the lips in that mitzvah is also an action. So you're not just speaking, you're also moving your lips. So the lips are the action, and the speech is the ruach. So a very beautiful Ben Ishchav here. So a person just thinks the prayers, not fulfill the obligation. Why? Because you cannot link your soul to just by thinking. You have to start from the bottom. You start with the nefesh, and the nefesh is going to link to through by talking and by the speech. You link it to the ruach, and only then can you link it to the soul. Otherwise, you have no grasp on the soul. It's interesting. If a person prays only in his heart, it doesn't work at all. It does not fix the higher worlds. However, when he just speaks without thinking, even though he didn't have any thoughts, obviously it's not complete, and it can't go up all the way to the world of the soul. Nevertheless, it does go up somewhat. Eno larik, it's not for nothing. The person says, you know, Rabbi, I can't have any concentration on my prayers. Is it worth praying? And the answer he's saying is yes, prayer is the action, even though you don't have the higher thoughts. Even though you can't go up all the way, at least you go up some of the way. But if you have the higher thoughts without the prayer, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to work. Okay. Then he continues. There are klal amru as well. The general rule the rabbi said in the Zohar. Okay, the Zohar asked the question. The rabbi said, only the first section of the Shmona Esrei needs Kavanah. Right? If you don't have Kavanah, the first section, then you have to go back and repeat the Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara, the Zohar says, Man de libe taru, the person whose heart is busy, whose mind is busy with other things, by its luta, and he wants to pray. But he cannot, look at the language, he cannot order the praises of the Master at that time. What should he do? So the Zohar says explicitly, he should order the praises of the Master even though he cannot have Kavanah. Interesting Zohar. You think the Zohar would say, no, a prayer without Kavanah, like Chovat Levavot says, a prayer without Kavanah is like a body without a soul. It is a body, but at least it's a body. But just thinking, there's not even a body, that's what it's saying. There's no body, there's no soul, nothing. Now we come to a very important idea. Now this is, a person should not knock their thoughts. The thoughts are so high. A person's thoughts are so high. The thoughts of a person, he ha'olel ma'ala rosh. The thoughts of a person go up to the highest levels. B'shmei rom. In the highest worlds. Yimitzaref ha'adam gam torah makshava. If you add to this the purity of the thoughts, and especially when they're doing a mitzvah, yagyu ma'asav lefol tikunam yoter gdolim ba'olamot yoter ilanim. That his actions will work even in the highest worlds to a great level. Omlam, lo ha'makshava hi'yakar. Nevertheless, the thoughts are not the main thing. Amazing, huh? So even if a person has no thoughts during the mitzvah, as long as they do the mitzvah, they're doing the mitzvah, they're doing the command of God, they get tremendous reward. Okay, so that's a very powerful Ben Ish Chai. That the main thing is the action, but the thoughts can add tremendously to the action. So this is Ben Ish Chai, is really a primer for Kabbalah. It's beautiful. I'm going to give you one class on this beautiful Ben Ish Chai. Anyway, let's move on. And some small meditations, beautiful meditations. Number one, focus on Hashem. So how does a person focus on Hashem? You're not allowed to think of Hashem. What are you allowed to think of? You can't think of God because God has no shape and no form. What are you allowed to think of? His name. Beautiful. You think of his name. He has seven names which are not allowed to be erased. What are the seven names which are not allowed to be erased? Aleph Lamed. Kel. Moshe Rabbeinu prays for Miriam. El Na Rafa Na La. The word Aleph Lamed. Very, very powerful. God of power. Very powerful. So if you want to cure someone, that's the words to use. That's why they use that in the Mishibrach. They add over there, Kel Narafan Allah, and they say three times, Kel Narafan Allah. Especially the Moroccan custom. Very powerful. Can you imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to heal his sister, all he has to say is, how many words? Kel Narafan Allah. It's probably the shortest prayer in the whole Chumash here. Wow. Five words. Why? Otherwise they would accuse him. For your sister, you pray endlessly. For us, zero. So he prayed five words for his sister. He cannot be accused of favoritism for his sister. Pray five words. But those words last. That's all you need. Five words. So number one is focus on Hashem. How do you focus on Hashem? Number one is his name is Kel. Aleph Lamed. Very powerful. Small name. Small, very small name. Eloka. Aleph Lamed Vav Hey. Elokim. Which, by the way, is in the plural. Why is Elohim in the plural? And the answer is, Kel is a power. Aleph Lamed is a power. He is the powers. All the powers in the world rest in one God. In other words, there's no God of rain, the God of sun, the God of this. All one power. Elohim. He is the God of the powers. All the powers are united in God. Kel Eloka Elohim. Shakai. Shin Dalet Yud, which is every mezuzah, right? Shin Dalet Yud. Every mezuzah. Very powerful name. All you do is pass a mezuzah. You know, one of the things, unfortunately, is today we put the mezuzot in cases, in a box. So the trouble is you can't see the Shin Dalet Yud. So why do you put it in a box? Because maybe there's nakedness, maybe they're changing a child's diaper, you can't put dirt near it next to Hashem's name. So I say it's better to get a clear plastic box where you can say the Shin Dalet Yud. Ideally, you should be able to see it, unless you know you're in a room where they change diapers. So they don't put it. Cover it up. But if you're in a place where it's a clean room, and it's no problem, in your sitting room, or your living room, or your kitchen, or whatever it is, make sure it's uncovered. It's uncovered. It should be uncovered.
Front door also.
Yeah, why not? Front door is even better. Because the whole purpose is to die. He said, Hashem said, die. Stop. Don't come in. Stop. It's a stop sign. Shin Dalet Yud is a stop sign to all evil forces. It should be uncovered. And this way a person remembers, they pass it, they remember Shin Dalet Yud. So meditation right there. Right there. A person should meditate when they see the mezuzah. According to Rambam, people just kiss it, but it becomes a habit. It's like everything else becomes a habit without thinking. A person, when they pass the mezuzah, should have an interaction with the mezuzah. Imagine, stop over there. Mezuzah, Hashem. Hashem is here. Hashem's presence everywhere. How do people think about Hashem when they pass the mezuzah? That's the whole purpose. So what they did is, on the plastic cover, they put a shin. What does a shin do? The shin is a representation of the Shin Dalet Yud. Okay. It's represented as there's a name of God inside. So Kel, Eloka, Elokim, Tzvakot, Shakai. What's next? Yud Kei Vav Kei. and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Please don't write these words down because they're holy words. I'm assuming change them. So Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Hayah Hoveh V'Yeh. He was, he is, and he will be. He's above time. Hashem is above time. Who created Hashem? He never had a beginning. There's no creation because there's no beginning. He was above time. Time does not apply. And there's no end to Hashem because it's above time. So we can't even understand the concept of being above time. He's seeing the past. There's no past, present, and future. He's seeing everything in one shot. Everything. The whole world is passing in front of him like Abraham is here and I'm here and you're here and the next generation, the third generation, till the end of time. It's all above time. So the seven names of God. A person can focus on any name you want. One of these seven names. That's how you focus on Hashem. How do you focus on Hashem? By thinking about one of these names and thinking about the concept of the name. So it's very good to have a different concept. So Kel, God of power, healing. Think of a person needs healing. Kel, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed. Visualize. Think about it. Focus on it. Shin Dalet Yud. A person has troubles. There's who knows what's going on in the house. Take Shin Dalet Yud. Hashem should protect me. Hashem's protecting arm should protect me. Whoever says to the world to stop should stop all my troubles. Right? Hayahu Veviyah, he's above time. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, he's the master of everything. Adonai Kol, he's the master of everything. So Tzvakot, oh, very powerful. Chana, she says, you're the God of the myriads, of the multitudes. Tzvakot. You're the God of the armies of angels. I'm thinking about armies of angels, trillions of angels. Hard to imagine. There's a whole olam, this whole world of angels. Olam Yitzira. The world above this is the world of angels. Hard to imagine, a world of angels. Imagine. It's like you go over here, see people. You go up there, you see angels, full of angels. Angels, all kind of angels, small angels, fat angels, shithini angels, six wings, 10 wings, I don't know, all kinds of different kinds of varieties of angels, fire, water, all kinds of angels. If you can see them, you can't see them. They're not physical. But once you lose your physical eyes and you get your spiritual eyes, you'll be able to notice them. Like Yehezkel and his vision of the chariot, you'll see different kinds of angels. Ofanim, Ofanei HaKodesh, all different kinds of angels. So, Hashem is everywhere. It's hard to imagine. Hashem is everywhere. It's just, wherever you go, Hashem is with you. It's why? Because Hashem is everywhere. It's very hard to imagine that. That you go in some places like a lion's den. If you walk in some no-go areas in the Bronx, or I don't know where, in London, you have to envision Hashem is there as well. Hashem is here with you. Hashem is here. That's David HaMelech. You can see Hashem is with him. Even in the valley of the shadow of death. Hashem is there. Hashem is everywhere. So a person's got to acknowledge, think about it. Hashem is with me right now. I feel your presence, Hashem. I feel your presence. A person should pray to Hashem. Hashem should show his presence to us. That's Avraham Avinu prayed to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem. Thank God. So we can see through, a person believes in divine providence. Hashem, just give me a small sign. That's all I want, a small sign. Gidon. Right? Gidon fought the Midianites, right? And he wanted signs. Imagine, that's what he really troubled Hashem for the signs. Amazing. And he got Hashem, gave him the signs. So give me a small sign, Hashem. I want to, you know, a person going through a bad time. Give me a small sign, Hashem. A little small sign, please, Hashem. Oh, just show me you love me. Show me Hashem. Show me Hashem you love me. A person can pray for something. But a person can acknowledge Hashem is with us. Okay, think about all the minute details of the world. It's amazing, think about it. Hashem is the biggest designer. You want to know who the best designer in the world is? You just see the colors and the shapes and the... It's amazing, I mean. Even you see how the snowflakes... Examine the crystals of the snowflakes. You ever see the snowflake on a microscope? The snowflakes, crystals, amazing, amazing. Think of the design of the world. Who designed all this? Who's a big designer? How can Hashem figure out all these details, how everything meshes together, like, amazing. Realize Hashem is omniscient. He's above everything. He created everything. En od milvado, there's nothing but Hashem. Everything is a little bit of a, it flows from Hashem. Everything flows from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. This is the good one. The good one is when you pray, at least, when you pray, you really a person should imagine themselves giving their worries to God. Giving their worries away to Hashem. Hashem, you're carrying me anyway. You know the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim says there was a hitchhiker. Hitchhikers hitchhiking. Side of the road. And the car stops for him. Hop in. I'll take you. In the good old days where you could go hitchhiking. I would advise it today. So I hop in. So he goes in there. He says, okay. He says, but listen, he says, why do you still have your backpack? Take off your backpack. Put it down on the seat. Make yourself comfortable. He says, no. He says, it's enough you're carrying me. How do you carry my backpack as well? He says, you fool. He says, you're in the car. The backpack's in the car. I'm carrying both of you. He says, listen, Hashem is carrying us. Give me your backpack as well. Why can't I give you? Give all your troubles to Hashem. Give any worries. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. Why can't we let go of all our troubles? It's so hard because the Yetzirah. I let go of all my troubles. The next day, I still have the troubles. I let go of my troubles every day. That's Avodah Shebalev. Tefillah is Avodah Shebalev. It's the work of the heart. Why? Because every day, it's another work. It's another effort. Give God your troubles. Okay, yesterday, I felt good. I gave God all my troubles. But now, you know what happened? I couldn't sleep at night because all my troubles came back to me at night. Your worries come back to you. So give them back again in the day. Give them back to God. And at night, give them to God. Hashem can look after you and look after your troubles. And you know what? You'll find you'll have a stress-free life. You'll find your days will be happy. Why? Because instead of worrying about the future, live in the present. Sometimes the present not so great either. But give you worries anyway. You'll be happy. I'll tell you you'll be happy. Then picture the troubles disappearing. Oh, that's great. Isn't it great? You know, it's amazing because sometimes we make too much about our troubles. We build them up and with our worries and we think more and we dig more and with maybe this will happen or maybe that will happen, maybe that will happen. And Hashem is laughing at us. You idiot, why are you wasting your time? Enjoy my world. We have to enjoy Hashem's world. It's so hard. It's so hard. It's very easy when there's no troubles. It's very easy. A person has no troubles, everything's going smoothly. Then Hashem throws a curveball and it becomes a test, a trial. What's the test? The test is emunah. The test is how much you're going to worry. And you see the tzaddikim, they never worried. The tzaddikim never worried, they were smiling. The righteous were smiling. Not a problem in the world. You look at them, not a problem in the world. Hanina ben Dosa. You heard Hanina ben Dosa. Hanina ben Dosa, right? Not a trouble in the world. But he was poor, he never had money, he was destitute. There's no oil in the house to light for the Keshavat candles. Yeah, he didn't care. Didn't face him at all. All the worries, Hashem. Everyone used to come to him for their worries. Hanina ben Dosa, pray for me, I need this, pray for me. He used to pray for them. And his wife says, what's going on here? You pray for the whole world, you don't pray for yourself. We're poor, we're destitute. Do something, Hanina, do something. Says, okay. Praise to God. The morning they wake up, a gold leg of a table on his bed. Gold leg on the table on the bed. His wife's so happy, this solid gold leg. Solid gold! Hanina, thank you so much. He says, don't thank me. Thank God he sent us a gold leg. He says, one second, Hanina, where did it come from? So it came from our table in the next world. Hanina, our table will only have three legs in the next world. We won't have four legs. It's going to be shaky, Hanina. Give it back. She was a tough cookie. He said, not so fast. Let me go and ask the chief rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. You don't just go play games with God. One day you want it to the gold, then you don't want the gold. It's not so easy. So he goes to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, listen, if anything is missing from your table, you can take it from mine. You can have it mine. Take it from mine. If anything in the next world is missing from your table, you can take it from my table. It's great. Guaranteed. He's guaranteed. He goes back to his wife. He said, nope, I'm not going to take from anyone else. You send it back right now. So it says he had to pray more to send it back than he prayed to get it. Because Hashem wants to give and Hashem doesn't want to take. So, but you see, a person can solve their problems. Give over any worries and stress to Hashem. I'll tell you, it's a different world. No, stress-free world. Stress-free. You know the story of the rabbi? He never worried. His wife was a worrier. She's telling him, I don't understand you. You don't have money. We have five daughters to marry off. We have no dowry. How come I'm worrying and you're not worried? I have a brother like that, by the way. He looks so young. Not a worried. He also has how many daughters? Five daughters, six daughters. Doesn't worry. So his wife couldn't take it anymore. I'm worrying, you're not worried. How come I'm worried? He said, listen, he said, you know I think very fast. Right? Said, yeah, everyone knows you're a very bright guy. He said, well, what takes you 24 hours to worry about? It takes me 2 minutes. My mind is working fast. So give over your worries to Hashem. Person's going to view themselves giving over their worries. Here, Hashem, take all my burdens, please. Take all this burden and this burden and this burden. Another one for you, another one for you. Picture then all the worries disappearing. Just like Korach and his assembly was swallowed by the earth, Hashem swallowed everything up. So that's all, these are meditations. Focus on Hashem, he's everywhere. Acknowledge Hashem is with you. All these are different meditations. You can do it at different times. But it's very important not just to meditate and leave everything in meditation. As we said, that's all in the air. The main thing is the action. So straight away, ground that spiritual energy by learning Torah. You know, the Kabbalists always had some kind of besamim around them. Kind of pleasant smells, fragrance. So their feelings of gratitude to Hashem, they would take out in the bracha. They had to make it in bracha. On the smell. Any kind of smell, different kinds of smell, different bracha. So this way it's concretized. Your thoughts are now concretized in a bracha. Very important to concretize the thoughts. Not just to think in air, as we said before, the action is very, very important. So you go to see the Baba Sali. Baba Sali says, here, make a bracha. Concretize. Make the bracha. Yeah, they give you a little cracker and give you a piece of water, drink of water, just to make a bracha and concretize it. Beautiful. So a person's got to concretize the meditation. The spiritual energy should fall on something. Should fall on something. The hardest part, I find this very hard, to eat with meditation. It's so hard. The Yetzirah is so strong. You know, that must be very high because the Yetzirah is so strong. You know, especially you're used to reading a book read a Jewish book. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. Today people look at the news, they're on their pump, whatever it is, on their phone, they're eating and they want to get distracted. People always want to get distracted. Before they're talking to someone, try eating with meditation. Thank Hashem for the food. Think about Hashem. So all these are meditations. Okay, let's move on to chapter 3. We're on page 104 in the old book. The practical aspect. And here is a title is Meditation, Mysticism, Magic. An important facet of Jewish meditation. It's the metaphysical impact. What is happening? I wish we could see the worlds above. I wish we could see it, man. Be a different world, different life. You know, thank God we can talk about it because other people have saw it. And they tell us, the prophets saw it, and they tell us, they came back to tell us, Baruch Hashem, we have something, some inkling. Otherwise, it's the worst thing in the world. Imagine a person living their life, and they think this is the only world, and that's it. By the way, I had an amazing experience today. We had a guy fixing this heating unit. Yesterday wasn't working over there, it was freezing in here. So this guy comes, and you know, I take him into the shul. I say, we have another unit over here, can you check this unit? He says, I love Jews. I love Israel. You know, I'm going to Israel next week. He's so excited. He looks around and says, I have all these 12 tribes in the tribes of Israel. I love Israel. I said, God bless you. He says, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what we have to be like. He was ecstatic. He wanted to be in a synagogue. I tell you, I've never seen a guy so happy to be in a synagogue. Where do you find? You don't even find Jews happy to be in a synagogue. Halavai, we could all be like that. Ecstatic. He was ecstatic. I loved Israel. I love the God of Israel. I love the God of Israel. Okay. Halavai, we all love the God of Israel. So there's. It's important to know that everything we do has an impact on the worlds above. I love why we could see it. If we could see it, we'd do much more. We'd run, we'd jump, we'd dance, we'd run to this. We could just see the impact. You know, one day, the Rav Chaim Volozhin says, one day they'll take you for a tour. These are the worlds you built in your lifetime. Imagine. You built worlds. The worlds above, you built worlds. Well, some of the worlds are solid, some of the worlds are rickety a little bit, a little shaky. And then these are the worlds you destroyed. I destroyed, yeah. You spoke Lashon Hara. You didn't do this mitzvah properly. You did this, you did that. So without teshuvah, that's the power of teshuvah. We can rebuild those worlds. And that's what we have to try and do without teshuvah. So we taught that. It's called a pagam. Right? The Kabbalists call it a pagam. We make a blemish in the worlds above. It's hard to manage. And we have power in the worlds above. We have the power. How do we have the power to do things in the worlds above? Because our souls come from the worlds above. A person can build and do damage up to the source of their soul. If the source of their soul is higher, they can go even higher. Because our souls are the ladders that we can use to go up and go down. Amazing, right? We go up the soul and go down the soul. Only trouble is, how do we do that? And the answer is through meditation. There's another way. When you do a mitzvah, we said, you can link your nefesh to the ruach. How? Your nefesh is the action. Okay, I do the action. And then I do the speech. That's the ruach. So you're going up your soul, right? We have no inkling what we're doing. And then when you have your thoughts in it, neshama is also involved. So now you can go up. Technically, you can go up all the way up to the top of that neshama. So we have an impact on the worlds above. And we know there are different levels of worlds. There's the world of Atzilut, which is one of the highest levels. But most people can't even get up there because their souls don't come from there. Unless you have a very holy soul. Very holy soul. There's the level of the Bria, which is where, that's why it's called Bria. Our souls come from there. Most of the souls come from there. There's the Yetzirah, which says is the world of the angels. And then there's the Asiya, which is where we are right now. So basically we have Nefesh, which is this world, Asiya. Ruach goes up to the next level soul, Yetzirah. The Neshama goes up to the Bria. And then we have two other parts which are even higher, Chaya Yechidah, which go way up there. But most people don't have those parts. So how do we fix the worlds? Wow, it's amazing. So by joining these three sections, action, speech, and thoughts, the influx and blessing of infinite light ensues, and we can attach ourselves to Hashem. An effect of grace to all the worlds is caused simply by awareness of a subjugation to God. The intellect and soul draws down whatever it is attached to. We talked about that last week. Ramon says, you are where your thoughts are. What does that mean? I'm thinking about the beach. Is that where I am? Am I there? On some level I am. My soul is there. Your soul, that's what Rambam means. Your soul is where your thoughts are. A person's soul is where the trouble is. I wish, you know, it's horrible. There's a person thinking, who knows what they're thinking about. Wherever they're thinking about, that's where the soul is. Because the soul and the thoughts are the same. Your thought is your soul. Your soul is where your thoughts are. If your souls are in the higher world, if your thoughts are in the higher worlds, hopefully when a person prays, soul's up there as well. The soul is thinking, the thoughts are thinking of Hashem. Your soul is with Hashem. Very powerful. So here we are. So that's one part of it. A person connects their soul to God. The other part of it now is the ego. Oh boy. The ego is me, 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 me. So even though my soul's with God, I'm with me. So that person got to break down that ego as well. So dissolving one's ego in adhering to the source of all. It's the only way to unite the soul and your consciousness with Hashem. That's amazing. So a person's thinking of Hashem, but really they're not thinking of Hashem because it's all ego. I want Hashem to do what I want. I want Hashem to do what I want. It's all ego. The ego is the break between you and Hashem. So it's got, I need two parts to this. Number one is, you need to think of Hashem. We also need to crush the ego. You need to lower the ego. Otherwise, the ego is the barrier. So a person's going to say, Hashem, I accept your will. Whatever you decide, I accept your will. I just want to link with you and that's it. Hashem says, oh, that's it. Okay, good. Now you're talking my language. Now we can link. Now we can connect. Now if you're humble, I can connect to you. If you're not humble, I'm going to connect to you. It's so hard because we all want. And the rabbis recognize that because why do people pray? If you don't want, a person will never pray. Oh, yeah. You think people would pray and say thank you? Thank you. It's hard to say thank you. But people pray just to praise God? I don't need him. I don't need anything. Right now, I'm fine. You know? It's okay. Hashem, I don't know. Yeah. So the joke, the guy says, he's stuck. You go to Manhattan. I need a parking spot. Happened to me every time I drove to Brooklyn before I teach over there. I'm going round and round the block. Hashem, so before I even get to Brooklyn, I pray. Hashem, please give me a parking spot. Please, Hashem, give me a parking spot. Please, Hashem. And usually it works. All of a sudden, the guy moves out. But once or twice, it doesn't work. So you're going around the block. Hashem, give me a parking spot. Give me a parking spot. And then it got so bad, I had to call my mother in London and say, Mommy, give me a bracha to get a parking spot. And then it worked. I don't know. She has more pull than me. But the joke is that the guy's going around the block. Hashem, give me a parking spot. I'll do this. I'll keep this mitzvah. Never mind. I found one. That's the ego. Ego says, I don't need you. That's it. Right now I'm successful, I don't need you. So the person's praying, but in the back of his mind is, I'm rich, nothing can happen to me, I'm healthy, nothing can happen to me. He's asking for trouble. Okay. So we can link ourselves to Hashem, and if we remove the ego, it's going to be a very solid link. It's going to be a very powerful link, and we can bring down to this world tremendous blessings. So the holy meditation unifies the worlds with their creator. And our aim is not only to increase our awareness of God, and this is very, very fascinating, because when you increase your awareness of God, it's not just you. You're increasing, I'm now much more aware of God. Now I can talk about it to other people, and I can spread the awareness of God to many more people. So what happens is, God is manifesting himself in the world through me. And that's what the forefathers did. Hashem manifested himself through the world through them. And that's the highest level. But that's a person to try and do that. You can be a messenger of God in the world. You can be the Merkava of the Shekhinah. That's the Merkava of the Shekhinah. You can be the chariot of God in this world. The forefathers were the chariots of God in this world. They were bringing the manifestation of God to other people. Okay, we are moving on. And famous Mishnah in Brachot. And the Mishnah says, the early pious ones would meditate 1 hour before they prayed. Wow, it's amazing. Right? Amazing, right?
Yeah.
The early pious ones would wait for 1 hour and then pray. No, an hour before they prayed.
Anytime.
Pray Shacharit. You don't pray Shacharit. I pray Shacharit in the morning. So 1 hour before Shacharit, they're meditating. Imagine. So the Gemara asks, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, where do we learn it from? Where do you learn it from? Ashrei Yoshev Etecha. Praise are they who sit in your house. Od Yalu Chasera. First they sit in the house, and then they pray. Isn't that nice? We say every day, we don't really realize. Ashrei Yoshev Etecha, praise are those who sit in your house. First you sit in your house, first you sit in the Beit Midrash. What are you doing in the Beit Midrash? What are you doing in the synagogue? Meditating. I sit in the house, Od Yalu Chasera, then I'll pray. That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Isn't that nice? It's beautiful. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One who prays has to wait 1 hour. Amazing, right? So he gives it more obligation. Before a person prays, he has to wait an hour. Imagine. And after he prays, another hour. Where do we know you have to wait before you pray? Ashrei Yoshev Etecha. We learned about it. Where do we learn you have to wait after you pray? Ach tzadikim yadu l'shmecha yashvu yisharim bepanecha. The righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will linger in your presence. So you see, the upright will linger in your presence. Which means you have to wait after prayer. Amazing, isn't that amazing? So the Quran says, hey, 1 second. So now you've got to pray 3 times. How many hours is that? 9 hours a day. The Quran says, what's going on over here? They pray 9 hours a day. How can they preserve their Torah? When they have time to learn. Who's going to do their work? When they have time to pray, they're praying 9 hours a day. When are they going to learn the Torah? When are they going to do work? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, because they're pious, the Torah will be preserved and their work is blessed. Amazing. The merit of the piety, Hashem provides an extra measure of aid. They remember their studies without extensive review. And the little time they spend in earning a livelihood is sufficient for all their needs. So obviously, they don't have time to learn. So if they're pious, they must have learned already. So the question is, how do they remember what they learned? So obviously, you can't, without learning, you can't be on this level. And amar etz chassid, a person who doesn't know cannot be pious. So to be a level of piety, a person got to know everything. So when they know everything, then they can be pious. And now, question is, how do they remember what they learned? Oh, a little bit of review is enough for them. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. So we see over here, what are they doing? Meditating before prayer brought these rabbis to quasi-prophetic elevated states of consciousness, imbued with Ruach HaKodesh through their union with the Shekhinah. By the way, we talked about Shekhinah. In the Rambam earlier, we talked about Shekhinah. The word Shekhinah comes from Lishkon. Lishkon means to dwell. And Hashem's presence dwells with us. We call it the Shekhinah. But really, it's a metaphor for divine providence. Divine providence. That a person is alive, we see divine providence. Hashem is with us. A person believes that whatever I do, Hashem is in control. And Hashem is providing this for me right now. That's divine providence. So a person believes in divine providence. And Shekhinah is with them. That's the Shekhinah. Hashem's presence is with them, dwelling with them. So the Talmud says that these people were imbued with Ruach HaKodesh through their union with the Shekhinah. How would they get a union with the Shekhinah? And the answer is, when you're thinking about God, you're having a union with God. When you think about God, you're having, call it communion. Communion, union, union with God. This made their prayer a type of prophecy that engaged in a meditation. The Gemara says, Rabban Gamliel's son was sick. Who's going to pray for Rabban Gamliel's son? He prayed. Rabban Gamliel prayed. Nothing happened. He was sick. Couldn't change it. Who's going to pray for him? Send a message to Hanina ben Dosa. Quickly. Hanina ben Dosa, go and heal the son. Pray for the son of Rabban Gamliel. So the Gemara says, he sends a message to Hanina ben Dosa. Hanina ben Dosa would pray for the sick, and he would say, this one will live and this one will die. He knew from his prayer who's going to live, who's going to die. Just by praying. So they asked him, how do you know from your prayer? He says, I sense in my prayer, if my prayer flows, he's going to live. My prayer doesn't flow. In other words, he had prophecy, a quasi-prophecy in his prayer. He could tell from his prayer who's going to be, was prayers accepted or not. They asked him, are you a prophet? He says, I'm neither a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I have a tradition. If my prayer is fluent in my mouth, I know it has been accepted. If I know it's not fluent in my mouth, it's been rejected. So what happened? He prays for Rabban Gamliel's son. He said, the messengers made a note what time he prayed. They came back to Rabban Gamliel. He said to them, son got cured. What time did they cure him? What time was this fever leave him? It was the same time Rabban Hanina ben Dosa prayed. So we see that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa had this kind of prophetic knowledge. So when a person fully directs one heart to Hashem during prayer, tremendous power, tremendous power. But you see, Rabban Gamliel couldn't do it. Not everyone has that power, not everyone has that energy. Yechidei Segula, very few people in the generation. It seems like only one person in that generation. And this is a generation of greats. This is not a small generation. All these guys can make the dead revive. And he was special.
Is there any idea that you should have someone else daven for your son and not yourself? I mean, yes.
No. You can have someone else daven for you. I'll tell you why. What happens is, the Gemara says, En asir, matir tasmo bet asuri. A prisoner cannot save himself from jail. So that means, with regard to yourself, ideally you should pray for yourself. You see, your prayers are not being answered. So go with someone else. That's the idea of going to a tzaddik, asking someone else to pray for you. But ideally, it says, the Gemara says also, the sick person's prayers are accepted first. The person prays for themselves, it's the most powerful prayer, because they're sick. They really pray with kavanah. Who prays more? The guy is praying for you, or you pray for yourself? You feel the pain, he doesn't feel your pain. Unless the spouse, you feel the pain. But you feel the pain badly. You feel the pain badly. It's like, it's worse than you. It's horrible. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's right. The Shekhinah's presence is right there. It's like praying with a minyan, he said. Anyone can pray over there around his vicinity. It's like praying with a minyan. You don't have to mention his name when you pray.
Wow.
Like Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam was right there. Kel Narafan Nahla. Just pray, heal her. She's right here. Don't have to mention her name. Miriam Bat Yocheved. You don't have to say her name. You don't have to say her name. You pray for a sick person, you don't have to say their name. You just say, please Hashem, heal this person. He's right here. The Shekhinah's presence is there. It's like praying with a minyan. So if you believe in divine providence, he's right there. Hashem's providence. Who needs more providence? The sick person needs more providence. I'll tell you, I had an amazing experience. This woman is 99 or 100, I don't know. But This, I've never seen a woman like that. So she's on a machine. She's in the ICU. So I go there. She's half a dozing. They want to wake her up. So I sat next to her and I started praying. She opens her eyes. Oh, Rabbi, you've been here for a while. Didn't notice you. I said, okay, let's say Shema. So I said Shema. She said Shema with me. Amazing. I say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach. She said, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach with me. I said, that's a good sign. I said, wow, this is amazing. This woman's amazing. And sure enough, today she came home from hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Beautiful. It was the best experience I've had. One of the best experiences I've had. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, really. I tell you, this woman has got a special power. I tell you. She's a happy person. Happy, very happy person. Happy. And she has congestive heart failure. She's still alive, and she came out of hospital, ICU. She came out. She was in the ICU for a few weeks. She came out. Amazing, miracle. She'll have a long life. She's a frame of mind. And she was ready to pray. She was happy to pray. Even though she's on the oxygen machine, and she's praying with oxygen. It's beautiful. She's not resentful at all. She was happy. She was happy to pray. And she knew it was going to help her. Like she looked forward to it. She wanted to pray. Some people don't want to because they feel, you know, it's dangerous. I'm praying. It's the last rites. The rabbi's giving me last rites. You know, it's like doing vidui for me. I don't hear it. It's saying Shema. But the truth is, many people want to say Shema. I had a very interesting experience with another guy. He was totally in a coma. So he was like sitting there for weeks. So I come there. I say Shema with him. I whisper in his ear, Shema. A few seconds later, he passed away. So his daughter's over there. What did you do? No, she wasn't blaming me. She says,
yeah.
We're waiting for him to die, and he hasn't died. What are you doing? What do you say? He was waiting for Shema.
Oh, wow.
Some people just wait for the Shema. They're waiting for someone to say Shema for them. And that releases, like they're in a spell. They're waiting for the Shema. Boom. And they hear the Shema. Boom. They're gone. This man was a high level. He didn't know anything, but I'm telling you, he was involved with the shul every single day of his life. He was the shul. He was Mr. Shul. His name was Mr. Shul. Special person. Very special person. He used to come to my class. He was already in his 70s. I don't think he learned Torah in his life. He would come to the class just to be amazing. So he wanted to learn. He really wanted. His soul was there. So that was his merit that he. You can see he was waiting for the Shema to go.
Did you know it? Did you sense
it
though before you did it?
Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I know that's going to happen. I'm waiting to see. But he was special because usually I say it, nothing happens. But he straight away was like... His daughter was very happy. Because the way is like painful to see your father suffering. So it was like a spell. It said Shema. What do you do? It said Shema. Okay. That's all it takes. So now, what's the purpose of the meditation following the prayer? Okay, I can understand. You got to meditate before you pray. Why? Because you got to know where you're going to send the tefillah. You got to have the address. Before you pray, it's very important. Like, before you say the Shemoneh Esrei, what do you have to think of? Right, you have to think of the address. My prayers are going to Eretz Israel. Where in Eretz Israel? And my prayers are going to the Beit HaMikdash. Where in the Beit HaMikdash? My prayers are going to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Holy of Holies. And where in the Holy of Holies? It's going on top of the Kaporet. If you can think that as well. That's unnecessary, but you can think that as well. It's going on top of the Aron HaKodesh, between the angels. It's going straight out from there. That's the gate to heaven. That is the gateway to heaven. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God, the voice came from between the angels. Amazing. What does that mean, between the angels? Rambam says, why do we have angels over there? You're not allowed to have angels over there. You're not allowed to have shapes and... We don't believe God is a shape or form. Why are there shapes and forms? And the answer is those angels hint to the world of the angels. It's coming from a higher source. It's coming from the higher spiritual worlds. So that's what it hints to. So God's voice came from there. It's coming from a higher spiritual world. So why the 1 hour long meditation after? And the answer is you're bringing down energies. So first you climb up the ladder. But you're not going to come down empty handed. What are you giving to Hashem? When you go up the ladder, what are you giving to Hashem?
Yourself.
Which part of yourself? Your soul. You're giving your soul to Hashem, yeah. It's called Mesirah Nefesh. Passing your soul to Hashem. And it's one of the kavanot in the tefillah, right? The beginning of the Shemona Esrei, to give your soul to Hashem. It's a covenant in a few places in the tefillah. Give your soul to Hashem. But don't forget, you give your soul to Hashem, you're going to give back. You're going to get back millions of times more. There's no way. You give your soul to Hashem. I mean, it's his anyway. What difference does it make? You're not giving something which doesn't belong to him. But, it's so hard to give it to him. It's my soul. I'm going to give my soul to Hashem. So you got to think it through. But it's not your soul. He gave it to you in the first place, so you're just giving him what's his. And he can take it anytime he wants anyway. What difference does it make? Just give it to him now. It's so hard to let go. It's scary. Let go your soul. You got to give him here. Hashem, take my soul here. Sir Nefesh. That's how you climb the ladder. When you give Hashem your soul, your soul is with Hashem. Your soul is with Hashem. That means you're with Hashem. Your soul is with Hashem. So now when you come down the ladder, you're bringing things down with you. You're bringing down energies with you. That's the whole thing. So it's called Yiridat HaShefa, bringing down things with you. And the Rav Chaim Vital writes, the process of the rabbis in the Mishnah. So we find this also in the Shemona Esrei, right? In the Shacharit. You have the prayers before Shemona Esrei is climbing the ladder. Prayers coming down after is bringing down. Yiridat HaShefa. He says, look what he says. They would first use holy names to open the gates to that level. Because interesting, because every level, every world has different names of God. And then, they'd say prayers relevant to that level. And then they would rise to the next level. Until they reach the highest source of their soul. Then they would rest. Then they would extend their thoughts further until Hashem. And finally return, drawing down influx. They climb up the ladder of prayer. That's Jacob's ladder. Okay. So lengthy meditation after prayer may also serve to return down to earth. After deep meditation, you want to adjust yourself. You want to get, before the meditation, you're going to get into the mode of meditation. And then after the meditation, you're going to come down to this world again. Readjust to this world. It's very hard to readjust to this world. Because who wants to be in this world? I mean, unless you're materialistic. If you're materialistic, it's fun. You're materialistic. You want to be spiritual, it's very hard to come down. Why would these people want to come down? That's what Arya Kaplan says. Before you meditate, you've got to want to come down. Don't meditate unless you want to come down. Otherwise, you're gone. Your mind can be gone. You can be a lunatic asylum for the rest of that time. Halas.
That's probably why you have to have spices, right?
Yes. Again, the spices are very important. That's what we do after Shabbat.
Like Abdullah.
Yes, Abdullah. To revive the soul. What does that mean? To bring it back to sort of concretize.
It's almost like smelling salts.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. Okay.
But nice.
Now we come to, I just want to finish off over here. This is from Shara Kavanot, the Rav Chaim Vital. Think about this. This is very, very powerful. Whoever fixes something properly in his mind, this thing will come back to him. In other words, the mind can create things. A person thinks positive thoughts in their mind, those things will happen. Just think positive thoughts in your mind. It's very hard, because when things are black, how do you think of light when things are dark? But that's the trick, exactly the trick. The point is to think of light when things are dark. And the trick of the Yetzirah is, it doesn't want to think of light, just think of darkness. But it's not going to get out of it. You're going to think of darkness, of course. Self-fulfilling prophecy. So a person's going to think of light. Get rid of the darkness. If a person believes in God, anything is possible. If you really believe in God, anything is possible. It's amazing. Think about it. Holocaust. And just to see the F-16s flying over Israel, it's just like... I mean, I got woken up one Shabbat. It was a Shabbat, unfortunately. I was there just last time in Beit Shemesh. I know there must be an Air Force base over there. I go, wait, who woke us up? We woke us up for Shacharit. At least they did us a favor. At least everyone could woke up for Shacharit. Because, boy, you hear these massive engines. Oh, gosh, it's scary. I was there at Lebanon War. It was just, I know they're going to Lebanon. You could hear them. Just drone after drone after. So thank God we have this equipment now. The Jews are not powerless anymore. Thank God. I shared it a million times. Hashem oz le'amo yitin. Hashem should give strength to his people. Hashem bevarech damo b'shalom. So I'm going to talk about this next week. But Hashem should give us strength and peace. But we see over there that peace only comes through strength.